thankful. It's such an honor and privilege to really know you, the true God, the only wise God, the immortal and invisible God. As we enter your word, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh anointing and unction, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. I pray that you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present and those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically. So that the word will flow, Father, freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great and sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, that indeed I will deliver this word with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out a treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving every blessing I mentioned in their individual lives all agreed individually and said, we're going to continue our study in God's word this morning in Romans chapter 13. In our last lesson, we looked at verses 1 through 7. And the conclusion of all of that was in verse 7. He said, render therefore, talking about kings and people in authority. Today it will be presidents, governors, local government chairmen, you know, House of Rep, senators, policemen, armed forces, anybody who is in a position of authority. The Bible is very clear. It says that we should honor them. We should obey the laws of the land because, like I explained last week, the institution, and this is very, very critical, this distinction, the institution of government was ordained by God. It does not automatically mean that God approves of every government. See, people take that and say, well, you know, I understand that during the Nazi regime of Adolf Hitler, you know, the Nazis used to use this scripture, you know, that you should obey the law of the land. That is the law of the land. In particular, there was some, I have some documentaries I watch, you know, and I learn a lot from history. You know, there was a particular pastor, well, it was a reverend or something in Nazi Germany who, you know, did not agree with the Nazi ideology, or particularly of killing of Jews. So they would quote the scripture, you know, the Gestapo and the German secret police. Like, you have to obey. It's the law of the land. If you don't give up the Jews, you know, and he knew what they did to the Jews. Once they took them, they would take them to concentration camps and kill them. So this man, I can't remember his name now, you know, but that's not important. What's important is the principle. You know, he disobeyed them. And that's the right thing to do. When a government makes laws that are contrary to God's word, then we do not rebel against the government, but we cannot obey wrong laws. Now, let me say this. I said this last time, and it bears repetition. This is very important, particularly in our nation, Nigeria, now, and not only Nigeria, and all nations of the world. I'll probably be talking more about this, not now, you know, sometime. You know, maybe around August or something. There's a message God has given me. I was going to preach it this Sunday. God said, the church isn't, we're not ready for it yet. You know, about the coming persecution. There's a great universal persecution that's going to come against the church. However, what we need to understand is that God does not, he's not against the institution of government, but he is against bad leaders. And sometimes he allows bad leaders to arise as a chastening to the people because of their disobedience. We need to understand that. So when the Bible says in one place, it says that, you know, he that overcometh, I will grant him power, authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he will shatter them into pieces. He's talking about, sometimes that rod of iron is bad government. That God allows because of the collective sin of the nation, and in particular, the sin of the church. And it's a kind of chastening to bring people to their senses. That's why 2 Chronicles says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, says, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Observe. Why does the land need healing in the first place? Because they have embraced wicked ways. So until they repent and turn from their wicked ways, then they have not been seeking my face. They have not been humbling themselves. You see, from that scripture, you can see, you know, the reason why the land needs healing. Ordinarily, the land would have been blessed. It wouldn't have needed healing. But because of pride, because of, you know, negligence of seeking God, wicked ways, all those things compound together like compound interest. You know, that's, I think, one of our daily rhemas today, you know, sin, judgment, and mercy. You know, it compounds like compound interest that, you know, affects the nation. And these are the root causes of the problems we have in nations. The root causes are not social. They're not political. They're not economic. They're spiritual. You get the spiritual right, the social, the political, and the economic will correct themselves. So, this man refused to obey, you know, he got involved with some secret service people who also were Germans. They were also Germans, you know, who were operating in the SS and all of that, you know, but some of them didn't believe that what Adolf Hitler was doing was right. So they were helping this man to smuggle Jews, give them, you know, false papers, you know, so that they could get out of Germany and they would not be handed over to the Gestapo and go to the concentration camp. It's a sad story. The man was ultimately caught and executed, you know, just before the Allies liberated Germany. But he stands out as an excellent example of what I'm talking about. You don't obey bad laws. Now, one thing I wanted to say, I said it last time, but I'm going to say it probably more explicitly today, is the fact that, you know, many times if you try and overturn the government by your own physical effort and natural power, you get into a worse situation. Either you get yourself killed, or, you know, it fails and then the government even becomes more oppressive. That's where prayer comes in. God told us, we looked at it in Job chapter 34 last week, you know, God will remove them without human hand. He will. If you can't say amen, say omi. He will remove without human hand. Job 34:20. You know, and he says he won't just remove one. He said he will remove many. And he will set others in their stead. We see this in Psalm 75, where it says, promotion does not come from the east or from the west, but it's God who raises up one and puts on another. The same thing is repeated. Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. In Daniel chapter 2, that, you know, let's quickly look at Daniel chapter 2. I'm going to come back here in a minute. I love that one because it was a revelation that was given to Daniel. And Daniel epitomizes an excellent example of an intercessor through whom God can rule in a nation, an empire for that matter, much bigger than any nation we have today. You know, much, much bigger. You know, and God was able to deal with these guys. Right. So, and the Bible says in verse 21, let's just zero in, you know, he blesses God, the name of God forever and ever, and for wisdom and might. It is verse 20, chapter 2 of Daniel. And it says, let's say it all together. And he changeth the times and seasons, and he removeth kings and sets up kings. Turn to your neighbor and say, who removes kings?
Then say, answer them back. It's a rhetorical question. Say, God. He didn't say a coup. He didn't say a war. Now, there are times God will use those things, you know, but mental and that solution is not neat. The reason is that it can cause a lot of problems, civil war, you know, mass killings, you know, and complete breakdown of law and order in nation, which God doesn't want because of his people. Observe our prayer that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. You know, so if somebody has to be removed by a violent means, then we don't live a quiet and peaceable life. God doesn't want that. So God knows how to do it neatly. Give him a clap offering. Neat. And that's what we're going to see in Nigeria and in many of the nations of the world. We're going to see some dandy things in the days ahead. And after a while, they'll know it's the church who is doing it. They will know that is the prayer. It's like there's a story in the Bible, you know, that I'm trying to remember. Yes, it's like Elisha. Remember, you know, anytime the king of Syria wants to do something, Elisha will get the information supernaturally. Then he will give the information to the king of Israel. The Bible says not once, not twice. After a while, they got to know. They said, oh, my lord, O king. He said, which one of you is a traitor? I said, no, none of us is a traitor. He said, but the reputation went ahead of him. The same is going to happen with us. You know, so I said, there is a prophet. There is a prophet who tells the king of Israel what you are doing in your bedchamber. So you know what? They tried to come and arrest him. Oh, the same thing is going to happen. Get ready. How many people still want to be intercessors for Nigeria? You know, it's not for weak-kneed, you know, cowardly Christians. It's for people who know who their God is. They will be strong and they'll do it. So he sends a whole army to arrest one prophet who didn't have a gun. He didn't have a gun. He didn't have any military people that were going to defend him, you know. And Gehazi, you know, who was not where he should be spiritually, you know, was afraid. And he said, oh, my Lord, you know, the whole place is surrounded. He said, chill. That's Olubi translation. He said, they that are for us are more than they that are for them. God opened his eyes. And the place was full of, they haven't gone. The angels of God haven't retired. Chariots of fire. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Angels, ministering spirits, the flame of fire. And they dealt with that army. And observe, he didn't kill them. Neat. See, when you're doing things by the Spirit, it will be neat. He just gave them temporary blindness. Then he led them into the middle of the marketplace, you know, in Samaria. Then when Ahab the king saw him, wanted to kill him. You didn't do this by your power. Don't mess it up. He said, give them food to eat. Give them drink. If your enemy is hungry, give him food. Give him water. Then after that, he said, and they said, and they did not come back. Give Lord a clap offering. That's a neat, that's what God is going to do in Nigeria now. And in many nations of the world, not Nigeria only. And they're going to, the reputation of the church will go ahead of us. And they'll say, it's the prayers of those people. And they will try and come and arrest us sometimes. And we will deal with them just like Elisha dealt with the Syrian army. Give the Lord a clap offering. So, with that understanding, let's remember, you don't obey bad laws. Daniel chapter, Acts chapter 4, you know, we looked at this last time, we won't turn there. You know, Peter said, judge whether it's all right for us to obey you or to obey God. They say you should stop teaching. Imagine someone making a decree now that I should stop preaching on Sunday. That I'm not going to obey that. I am not going to obey that. Or I shouldn't pray. Daniel chapter 6. Or Daniel chapter 3. I should come and start bowing to some silly idol that some king set up. That one we're not going to obey. We will honor the king. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego honored the king. They said, we are not careful to answer in this matter, O king. And by the force of spiritual arms. See, the problem is the church has not been strong spiritually.
So we've not been able to do these things. You know? And that's why, you know, Satan has been able to push us all over the whole place. But that day has changed. A new day is on us. Are you listening to me? By the force of spiritual arms, through prayer and intercession, we can and we get to the place, you know, where we are able to actually govern the nation by the Spirit. Without taking political, who was the most powerful person in Babylon? It was Daniel. Who was the most powerful person in Egypt? It was Joseph. So you don't need to run for House of Rep or Senator. If you want, you can run. We'll back you, you know. So long as you get there, you don't go and steal money. Praise the Lord. You know, but you know, that's fine. Some Christians may do that. But there's a higher level. And after a while, they will know it's us. Initially, they won't know, but because it's invisible. But after a while, like those people in Syria, they'll say, there's a prophet, you know. And you know what? You know what the Bible says, Pastor G? It says they will be afraid of us. At the moment now, nobody's afraid of us. But the hour is coming and now is where they will be afraid of us. Then it will also even go beyond being afraid of us. They will now come to us for counsel and say, what should we do? And we'll say, do this, do this, do this. That the God will give the Pharaoh an answer of peace. This is what you should do. This is what you should do about the economy. This is what you should do about the elections. This is what you should do. And when they do it, it will work. Then they will change the decree and say, there is no other God but the God of Israel, the God of Shadrach, the God of Meshach and Abednego. And then they will stop unrighteous decrees. But there's going to be a fight first. There's going to be a... Hello, somebody. Woo! I don't know about you, but that excites me. So we obey the government. We obey the laws of the land, the good laws, paying your tax, you know, don't steal, don't kill, and all of that. We do all of those ones. But any unrighteous law, we don't disobey. But we do not incite violence against the government. We don't try and do a coup. All that is flesh. If God's going to do it, he will remove them without human hand. If you do it properly by the Spirit, like I've explained, you know. Okay, now let's go back to Romans chapter 13 and we'll look at the rest. Most of what we're going to preach this, I've already preached it. You know, I preempted the scripture, you know, but it was at the Holy Spirit who was leading me. He says, owe no man, this is verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. I said this last time. For this, I didn't hear you. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Jeez, stop a minute, you know. I just got a tweet. It's not the natural tweet, you know, from heaven. Do you look at those first three laws? Don't adultery, killing and stealing. In every civilized country, these laws are on the statute books. They're on statute books. It is against the law of the land to commit adultery. Now I know a lot of people do it. That's why if the wife, God forbid, this should not be mentioned among Christians, but I'm talking about among unbelievers. If the wife or the husband finds the other partner in adultery and it takes them to a law court, they will win hands down. Not only will they win, the judge will, you know, he will rule against them. This is very true in England and America, and I'm sure it's going to get more and more true in Nigeria. The problem in Nigeria is that some of the judges themselves are committing adultery. So how is he going to decree, you know? But that's changing. We're getting righteous judges now. Do you understand? And most of the time, they will rule in the favor of the partner of the party that was, you know, sinned against, and give them most of the money. Yes. So don't go and commit adultery. You lose your house and your car, and they'll take the children from you. It's in statute books. Who said that? God. These are God's laws. These are God's laws. I just said that one. That's free of charge. Amen. So all those who are planning to commit adultery, who have been doing it, quickly repent. Quick. So you don't lose everything. You will lose your wife or your husband. You will lose your home. You will lose your children. Everything you have worked for all these years, they will take it from you. Because adultery is wrong. If you can say amen, say oh me. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That's perjury right there. If you go to the court of law and you bear false witness and it's found, you will go to jail. These are laws God put there, folks. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. Thou shalt not covet. Covetousness is what leads to stealing. It's greed. It's what leads to corruption, all of that. And if there be any other commandment, I didn't hear you. It is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, what God is saying is what I told you last week. I told you last week that if to keep all the commandments in the Bible, Old and New Testament, just keep the commandment of love. Automatically, you will keep all the other commandments. Because when you understand the commandment of love, you understand that to keep the commandment of love is actually allowing God to will and to do of his good pleasure through you. You know why? Love is the ability to discern by wisdom that comes from God's word, to feel or desire by compassion that comes from the fruit of the Spirit, and to do by power or ability that comes from the life of God what God would do in every situation. Because it is God that defines love. It is not love that defines God. When you have that understanding and that comprehensive definition of love, it becomes a no-brainer. It becomes so easy to keep the commandments. God will not commit adultery. God will not steal. God will not, bear false witness. You know, God, there's none of these things here. God will do them. God will not kill. Now, God kills for justice, not murder. There's a big difference between murder and killing, like in a war situation. If a soldier goes to war and kills somebody, he hasn't committed a crime. He's obeying the law of the land to defend his country. You know, so that's fine. You know, so, but, and God kills. God does kill. But he doesn't kill, to break the law. He's not killing, he says, in righteousness doth he judge and make war. So when God kills, he kills in righteousness because it's his judgment upon people who are doing the wrong thing. So there are times God kills. But he doesn't murder. The correct translation here is, thou shalt not commit murder. Murder is to kill somebody out of greed, envy, in order to either take their money or take their position. Like one person said, in any kind of crime, I used to read a lot of, crime detective novels. I don't do that anymore. I don't have the time. But sometimes I watch a nice movie, where there's, law and crime and detection and all of that. And you find this is true. Detectives will tell you this. Good policemen will tell you this. If you see a murder, if somebody kills somebody, follow the money and you get him. It's a saying amongst the police, particularly in America and in England. The first thing you want to find out is motivation. Why did they kill him? And usually it is money. Because the love of money is the root of all evil. They don't know the Bible, but they know. They found out with experience over the years, if you follow the money, you'll get the guy who did the killing. Are you listening to me? So God will not murder. And we are not to murder. So if we walk in love, we will keep all the commandments. It says, love, verse 10, everybody, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. God is love. He won't do anything bad to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Once you walk in love, automatically, you will fulfill all the laws. And that's what I, by the grace and the mercy of God, I have discovered, and I have been practicing, I'm still practicing it now. I discovered that once I find out what God thinks about the situation, what God feels about the situation, then I have the strength from God. That's what the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I will now do what God will do in that situation. I've learned, and I'm still learning over the years, that I don't allow emotion to... Emotion is not love. Watch this. Love will affect emotion, but emotion is not love. When you walk in love, it will affect your emotions. That's compassion. Kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, long-suffering will make you, be patient and kind towards people. But there are spiritual forces that come from the Spirit, from the Holy Spirit, through the human spirit, that now work on the emotions. So, the fruit of the Spirit will affect emotions, but they're not emotions. So I can't, you can't live your Christian life, on emotion, up today, down tomorrow. No, you live it on principle, the Word of God. Then the Word of God will now control the emotions, will release His fruit of the Spirit to control the emotions. Then you will behave like God would in that situation. I gave the example last week. I'm just reminded now by the Holy Spirit. Paul was in front of one of the rulers, I think it was a high priest or something, and the man, insulted Paul, and Paul answered back and said, "Thou whitewashed wall, you sit by the law." Somebody slapped him and said, "Revilest thou God's high priest?" And Paul said, "I'm sorry." He immediately repented because he knew it was wrong. You shouldn't have answered back. Then you see the same thing happened with Jesus. He's in front of the high priest, Ananias and Caiaphas and Annas. They do exactly the same thing. They blindfold and they slap him. Jesus doesn't answer. That's how God will behave. He was in full control of his emotion. It didn't mean he didn't pain him. It didn't mean he didn't feel like. But he changed the feeling on the inside by the power of the Holy Spirit. So he behaved like God. In fact, if you go and read the account, I'm reminded by the Holy Spirit, I don't know, it's recorded in different ways in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but I'll just give you the, holistic picture. You know what he said? He said, the person who slapped him, Jesus said, "If I have said anything bad, tell me." He said, "But if I have not, why did you slap me?" With calm. Give the Lord a clap of it. Then I want to give you hope. The Holy Ghost says, I should tell you this. Don't your neighbor say, "We will get there one day." Oh yeah, talk to your neighbor. Everybody, unless you have got there. If you have not got there, talk to your neighbor and say, "We will get there one day." Amen. Thank you, mommy. Give a clap offering. Amen. Yes. We will get there one day. The hour is coming and now is when there will be Christians who will behave like Jesus. They will blindfold you and slap you. Instead of getting angry and say, "In Jesus' name, I call Holy Ghost fire." That's our present level now. Holy Ghost fire. Oh. Kill him, God. Slap the whole prophet of God. Show him who I am. You haven't yet grown. Mm-mm. You behave like God. Just say, "I haven't said anything bad to you. Why did you slap me? It was unnecessary. Anyway, God loves you." That is where we're going. And thank you, Professor Lokpade. That's real spiritual power. You see, because you have, thank you, honey, you have control. A person that doesn't have control over his emotions has not yet developed spiritually as he should. You should be in control. No matter the provocation, the worst thing you can do to another human being is what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did they slap him and mock him, stop watching all these movies that don't tell you the truth. The one the Passion is the one I know that is the closest to the truth. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Do you know what that means? They put it so that it pierced the head. So watch this. Blood was running from his head. He had been beaten with 39 stripes. It's not just this ordinary horse whip. It had all kinds of nails and everything inside. So whenever they beat it, then they would pull. When they pull, it would tear the skin. So watch this. He was bleeding from the head. He was bleeding from the back already. The amount of pain and discomfort. It was in that situation he was carrying the cross. And the Roman soldier, centurion, who is experienced, it's called, this guy won't last. He can't carry this cross from here to Golgotha. So he gets that black man, Simon of Cyrene, from like Libya. And you know how they just bullied him. Took the cross. Come on, you carry this. Come, shut your mouth. So that one was carrying the cross, you know. And then they were walking all to Golgotha. When they got to Golgotha, his back is bleeding. His head is bleeding. He's already in terrible pain. He's lost a lot of blood. He's already very weak physically. They now take his hand and put 2-pound-inch nail on this hand, put the legs together and smashed something in front. What would you be doing at that time? Thank you, Pastor Ibrahim. You know what comes out of his mouth? Father, forgive them. What have they done to you? They haven't put a crown of thorn on your head. If you see how he talked to me, I can't take that. I just can't stand that. Oh, it's he grow. You haven't grown. None of us has suffered the type of humiliation and physical torture that Jesus suffered. And in all of that, the fruit of the Spirit was in dominance. Father, forgive them. Yeah, you know what he told Peter and the others? He said, don't you think that I can call now 6 legions of angels and I'll be delivered immediately? He could have. If you had the power to call 6 legions of angels while they are driving nail into your hand or putting call, you will call the angel. Holy Ghost fire! Finish them! That's why God has not given you that power. Because your character has not developed enough. It's when you have the power and then you don't use it. That's control. You have the power, you don't use it. They came to arrest him. They said, which one of you is Jesus? He stood forward. They said, I am he. Everybody fell down. The power came out, then he took it back. To demonstrate to all of us and the rest of humanity down through the centuries and the millennia that he had the power. It wasn't just talk when he said, I can, you know, I could send for 6 legions of angels. The power was actually there because those people fell down. He could have continued and just finished them. But that would not be the plan of God. So he took the power back. And you got to get to a place where you too, you have that power. Then you take it back. Then you do it like Jesus and say, it's okay. Father, forgive them. Let me say it in our today's language. You know what you should say? I wrestle not against flesh and blood. I know you're doing that, but it's not really you. It's the principalities and powers. So I'm not going to fight you. That's understanding. That's spirituality. So long as you keep fighting human beings, you're still carnal. So long as you still see human beings as your problem and your enemy, you're still very carnal. You walk like mere men. I never have helped anybody. Thank you. So love worketh no ill to his neighbor. So love is the fulfilling of the word. You walk like in love, then you'll be walking like God because God is love. then you will do what God will do, and God will never do right. Shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? When you walk in love, you will always do right. Verse 11, let's see how far the Lord helps us. And that, knowing the time, turn to your neighbor and say, you need to know the time. You need to understand the spiritual times and seasons. That's what he said there. He didn't say it in 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians. He says, I have no need to write on you, for you should know perfectly the times and seasons. One of the things that is disturbing the church today is that people don't understand spiritual times and seasons. So they do not understand. Watch this, honey, the urgency of the moment. You think we are mad? You think my wife is mad? Or I am mad? That we get up early in the morning, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, praying and groaning and all of that. I've been doing this for the last 3 years. It was God that ruffled us 3 years ago. Said, you need to start there. You can't wait until when the time comes. If you don't start the preparation, by the time comes, you won't be ready. And we have continued and still doing it now because we know the time. Some Christians are still sleeping. The Bible says there were 10 virgins. 5 were wives. They said they all slept. But there was a group that was not sleeping. The watchman. He says, and when midnight, he said, and the watchman cried, so he wasn't sleeping. There is a watchman group of intercessors that are not sleeping while the rest of the church is sleeping. Knowing the time. I didn't hear you, folks. It is now. That now, it is high time to awake, what? Out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. Imagine, this was written, honey, over 2,000 years ago. If it was true then, how much more now? The coming of the Lord. Our salvation doesn't mean being born again. He's talking about perfection that will now bring Jesus back. He says, nearer than when we first believed. Verse 12. For the night, I didn't hear you, is far spent. The day is at hand. You can interpret that as, the coming of the Lord, the manifestation of sons of God, that ultimately will now lead to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The night has been the time where Satan has been in control. The day is when the manifestation of the glory of God will now be seen by all. And we now begin to see the kingdom. The dominion of God. That's day. When Satan had control, that's night. Let us therefore, because the day is near, cast off the works of darkness. And let us, observe, Paul is talking to us by the Holy Ghost. This is what you are responsible for. Let us put on the armor of light. I'm going to come back to this in a minute. It is a commandment and an injunction. We you need to put on the armor of light now because the day is approaching. It's amazing to me, darling, how so many people in the church are still sleeping. You hear the messages, they're still talking about prosperity and healing, which is not wrong. Don't misunderstand me. I teach those things myself. But if you don't have a prophetic insight as to what is happening and where the church is right now and where we're going to, you're sleeping. I like what Paul said. I'm picking it by this Holy Ghost now. He said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not prosperity and healing. That's another rendering of that. It's not that meat and drink are bad. But what we're touching about is not meat and drink. The kingdom of God is not get healed, get prosperous, eat, drink, get blessed, marry, have a nice house, have a nice car. God will give you all of that. But that's not the kingdom. The kingdom is righteousness, peace,
and joy by the power of the Holy Ghost. So once a person's teaching and preaching and emphasis is only on meat and drink, he is not seeking the kingdom. If you can say amen, say oh me. And that describes the majority of the church. They think the gospel is for meat and drink. So all their preaching, all their teaching, you know, is all about meat and drink. Physical well-being, material well-being. Marry. Do a marriage seminar, the house will be full. I didn't hear amen. I was preaching somewhere recently, was on television, you know, and we advertised the new books we've put on Amazon. So I put in Choosing a Life Partner and Perfecting Your Home and Marriage. So one of the hosts said, Pastor, they will like that one. He said, next time you come on this show, we will talk about marriage. And that's okay. Don't misunderstand me. You know, because the home is the unit of the church. So if God's going to perfect the church, he has to perfect it. So but I teach marriage and all that from a prophetic perspective. I don't teach it just from a blessing perspective. Even though you will be blessed. Are you getting it? Put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. Don't your neighbor say, did you hear what the Bible says? You are to walk honestly. One of the reasons why Christians are not getting the mercy and the grace of God to the degree they should, I'll be talking about this in my main message later on, you know, is because of dishonesty. But it's a Christian, you should be. Many Christians are not honest. They're not even honest with themselves. Did you pray today? Yes, Pastor, I prayed. I'm not talking about just pray. Did you pray effectually and fervently? Did you pray without ceasing? See, the more you probe, the more the dishonesty comes out. When he comes to give you his report, say, I prayed, though, to make you think he actually prayed. But he didn't. Not the way God wanted it to be. And if you're not honest, you will not judge yourself. I didn't say condemn. I say judge. It's when you judge yourself, you're not because I have not made up to standard, Lord. I'm sorry. Talk to people, I'm this, I'm that. You know, that's what you think. But what does the word of God say? So use the word of God as standard, not your thoughts or your opinions about yourself or what other people tell you about yourself. Let us walk honestly. I'm like, wait, this Bible study. What's wrong with you people this morning? Yeah, they're not saying amen. If it was prosperity now, they would all be shouting. Please shout at honesty. Let us walk honestly. Wow. It shows you our mentality. Let us walk honestly. You should be excited about that as you are excited about, you know, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, that speaks of sexual immorality, not in strife and envying. These are all, everything you see there is lust of the flesh. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Observe, he talks about the armor of light. Then he talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in some other place in the New Testament, you say, put on the new man. It's all the same thing. They're just different expressions of the same spiritual truth. Whether you call it the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Or whether you call it the armor of light, as said here. Or whether you call it the Lord Jesus Christ. Or whether you see it in Colossians, you know, chapter 3, verse 10. Put on the new man. It's all the same thing. It's talking about the fruit of the Spirit.
Because that's what Jesus, that's Jesus' character. To put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to put on the fruit of the Spirit, put on love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. And you should do that daily. It is when you do that, that you, and with that, you pray in the Spirit and you walk in the Spirit, that you will now overcome the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm going to reverse engineer that statement. You know, if you don't walk in the Spirit, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm going to say it again. I didn't hear amen again. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you fulfill the lust of the flesh, it's because you are not walking in the Spirit. You can't say amen, say omi. And you know the problem? What Paul said here, as I close. He said, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision. When you don't put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what you just did? You just made provision for the flesh. You've given the flesh a ticket. The sin nature, you've given it permission to fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the responsibility is on you. I've said this so many times over the years, I'm going to keep repeating it, and it's particularly true in this context. The initiative is never with darkness, it's always with light. So I can't bring in such strong darkness now and put this light off. I can't go and look for darkness somewhere and then concentrate darkness on that light, and that light will disappear. There's only one way that light can disappear, if I tone the light down. The initiative is not with the flesh, it's with the Spirit. The only reason why your flesh is getting dominance is because you're not putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're not walking the Spirit. Anytime your flesh gets the better of you, you made provision for it. If you can't say amen, say oh me. You know what Jesus said? He said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. For the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The same Bible now says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What's he saying? Walking in the Spirit is watching and praying. Two different statements. That's why the Bible talked about the letter and the Spirit. The letters are different. Watch and pray always so you will not fall into temptation. The Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Different English, different words, but the same Spirit. That's why the Bible says the Spirit gives life, the letter killer. So you can read something in the Bible, you can know the English, you can know the Greek, you can know what it says, and yet you don't know what it says. Because you don't understand the spiritual meaning behind the statement. How then do I walk in the Spirit? By watching and praying always. If I don't watch and pray, I'm not walking in the Spirit. And if I don't walk in the Spirit, I just made provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And the reason why many, many of us, and many Christians, are fulfilling lust of the flesh is because we don't walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, he said it another way. He said, watch and pray. Then he used the word always, that you may be to escape. In Luke 21:36. Then in another place, in 1 Thessalonians, he says that, you know, pray without ceasing. What is God telling us? He's telling us that watching and praying is something you have to be doing all the time. Every 6 hours. And then in between, you know, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. If you watch and pray always, you will be constantly releasing the power of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. You, from your spirit into the mind, the will, the emotions, and the body, there will be no provision for the flesh. You push the flesh back. So when the flesh, the sin nature wants to rise up, what is coming from your spirit is so strong and is so powerful, it crucifies it. It dominates it. So what is in prevalence, what is prevailing is the nature of, and the character of God and not the lust of the flesh. It's as simple. Folks, this thing is not rocket science. It's not complicated. The problem is obedience. The problem is doing what the Bible said.
Oh gosh, I just remembered another scripture. It's a beautiful scripture. We're going to close now. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. It has the sin nature inside. He said, but the spirit is life, or has access to the life of God because of righteousness or right standing by the blood of Jesus. He said, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he said that he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or give life to your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. You should have, watch this, a constant flow of the life of God from your spirit into the mind, the will, the emotions, and into the body 24/7. Stand to your feet. That's what the man is telling us. Now that's why he gave us a commandment in Deuteronomy. He said, do it when you sit down. Do it when you're walking, by the way. Do it, you know, when you get up. Do it when you're lying down. What's he saying? Do it all the time. So keep that thing flowing. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Keep the living water, the life of God, the fruit of the Spirit, the power of the, keep it flowing constantly in the mind, in the will, in the emotions, in the body, in the circumstances. And you know what? No provision for the flesh. Where would the flesh come from? Where the sin nature come from? Even if he wants to come, what is coming from you? Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Dominates it. We have to learn it too. We have to learn it. I'm going to say some of this in my main message. And it's done by mercy and grace. I'll show you how later. That's how it's done. I've learned and I'm still learning it. I'm telling you, by personal experience, it's the mercy and the grace of God. You know what? His commandments are not grievous. He has not asked us to some terribly hard thing. He said it is not in heaven that you should go to heaven. Who will bring it for us? Or is it across the sea? It's not some difficult physical thing you have to do. He said, but the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Let's talk to God. Thank you, Jesus. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make, it is a direct command, folks. Don't let's make provision for the flesh. Stop making provision. Stop giving the flesh a free ticket to reign in your mind, your will, your emotions. You know, don't do that. Hallelujah. As I was praying this morning, this song came to me, and I want us to share. It's a song we know very well.
Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control.
Hallelujah. Sing it.
Wherever you may lead,
I will follow.
I will follow.
I have made a choice
to listen for your voice.
Wherever you may
be, I will go.
Start again from the beginning. Shepherd of my soul,
shepherd of my soul,
I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow.
I have made the choice. I have made a choice
to listen for your voice.
Shepherd of my soul. Shepherd of my soul.
Hallelujah.
I give you full control.
Wherever
you may need, I will follow.
I
shepherd of my soul is now my God.
Should I face
the mighty mountain
or valley,
dark and deep?
The shepherd of my soul is now my God.
Should I face the mighty mountain
or valley, dark and
deep?
The shepherd of my soul.
The shepherd of my soul is by my side.
Sing it, put it in.
Should I face the mighty mountain, or valley dark and deep?
The shepherd of my soul.
The shepherd of my soul is now my God.
Put one hand on your heart. Raise your hand.
I give you full control.
I have to give it.
Wherever you may lead,
I will follow.
I will follow.
Sing it from the heart. I have made a choice.
I have made a choice
to listen for your voice.
Wherever you
raise your hand. Heavenly Father, you pray after me. Say, Heavenly Father. I didn't hear you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, that has reminded me that I need daily to put on the armor of light, the Lord Jesus Christ, the new man, the fruit of the Spirit, and walk in the Spirit. Not just in the early morning prayer, but throughout the day. Throughout the day. Throughout the day. So your life from your spirit will be reigning and dominating in my mortal flesh, in my mind, in my will, in my emotions. So the fruit of the Spirit, your character, your love, we dominate me. So I will think like you. I will speak like you. I will feel like you. I will act like you in every circumstance and situation. Lord, have mercy on me. I receive the cleansing of your blood from all unrighteousness. Father, I repent where I've been careless, where I have made provision for the flesh through ignorance, through spiritual laziness, through rebellion, through pride. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. Come and help me. You're a good God. You only do what is right. You have not asked me to do what I cannot do. Your commandments are not grievous. It's not across the sea that I should go out, do so much physical effort to do it. It's not in heaven that I should go up and bring it down. But it is near me, in my mouth and in my heart. So I covenant with you today afresh to start practicing it from my heart and from my mouth throughout every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Neka shele priketo fredesk. La priketo frene gatusko frene. Lo priketosko frene. Father, thank you. Sala priketolo motolo moshele ketolo mtu fres. Lord Jesus, thank you. Riketolo motolo mtu frene kamatolo mtu fredu fredu fres. Lord Holy Ghost, thank you. Ambriketolo mtu frene kas. Thank you for your life, your blood. Ambrakantusko frene kamatolo. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your power. Nea katuske fredela. Ruenze gihia gahaya katoro. Rena tolomo sheliki kufre. Nonger tolomo tufre. Sa. Tolomo tolomo kaklamo tolomo gaga. Sa. Tolomo tufre de kaklamo. Tolomo tufre. Tolomo tolo. Sheliki tufre des. Tufre nengaras. In Jesus' name. Please be seated. I want to make one comment before I go and sit down. I said this many years ago. I want to repeat it now because of the context of this Bible study. And in fact, some of my message is going to be along some of these lines. And it is this. It's one of the things the church has totally, don't let me be absolute, has in the main, you know, not understood and practiced. The major reason why God gave us praying in tongues is what I've just talked about. See, tongues was not given just for the gifts of the Spirit and power and miracles. Yes, you can use it for that. But that's not the main reason. The main reason why God gave you tongues so you can walk in love. Watch this, darling. He said the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Whose word? God's word. When you pray in tongues, whose word are you speaking? God's word. That's why tongues is pure. You see, if you're using your own words, you may get it wrong or right. But when you put in tongues, it's God's word. And it will produce the effect. Because it's not you now. It's God. It's you. But it's God working in you and through you to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know another thing it guarantees? Total victory. Complete success. Because God cannot fail. If you truly put God to work, you will be victorious. Because it's not you anymore. It's not just you alone anymore. I, yet not I. But it's grace that worketh in me. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ. When you really understand it and you put Jesus to work inside you by his Spirit, that's why he gave you the Holy Ghost. There is nothing that you will not overcome. God bless you.